we like to think there are people in our lives that we matter to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People that have come and gone, but no matter how long it's been since you've spoken, they're going to jump at the chance to catch up.
Yeah.
Sometimes, however, you realize the person you thought you meant a lot to may not care.
Oh, we're bros.
Okay. Because someone in this room believed this person needed to hear from them after a life crisis.
Mm.
And they found out, apparently, that's not the case.
Yeah. Quite insulting.
You're hanging out in the breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So we start this break with some sad news.
Yeah.
If you've been a longtime loyal WCMF listener, you may remember Crowley.
Yeah, Monster in the Afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He did afternoons here. While he was doing afternoons here, he was also our boss. And he was the greatest boss of all time.
Yes.
Right? He is the reason why the show exists.
He basically put this show together.
You got it. And taught me how to do what I do. I mean, Kimmy, I don't want to speak for you, but taught you how to do it.
Well, yeah, he hired Kimmy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wouldn't have this job if it wasn't for Crowley.
Right. I mean, look, it's funny. Crowley wanted me to do this job, went to Tommy, and Tommy was like, no!
That's how I said it.
That's how it went.
I just woke it up, so I said, what? No.
So they put me in here anyway. Yep, so then Tommy and I were doing the show together, and then they're going to hire Kimmy, and they come to us and go, we want to hire Kimmy. Crowley says this, and Tommy and I are both like, no! So we owe a lot to Crowley. But more importantly than being a great boss, he became a good buddy.
Yeah.
So much so that we all went to his wedding in Buffalo a couple of years ago. Just a good guy. So obviously, radio for most people, not us.
Yeah.
You travel all around the country.
And he was that guy. Yeah. He'd been all over the country, out of the country, really.
Moved on to other markets.
Yeah. Alaska is this country, you idiot.
No, it kind of is, kind of ain't.
Okay. So he had had a job in Charlotte, North Carolina for a very long time.
Yeah.
He was doing great down there. And this week, he was fired.
Yeah.
They blew his ass out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a part of radio, right? But obviously, we feel bad.
Yeah.
So we found out about it earlier this week, and Tommy and I were like, all right, well, we got to reach out to him.
Yeah.
So on Tuesday, I called him. I talked to him for like 30 minutes, got the skinny on what happened, you know, asked what his next plans were.
Right, right.
Just two old friends catching up, checking in on each other. So I come in the next day, and I had assumed that you had called him too, reached out to him.
Yeah.
So I go, I talked to Crowley. What did he say to you?
So I said, I shot him a text. I haven't heard back from him yet.
That was on Tuesday.
Yeah, so I said, I think maybe he changed phones or something. I don't know. Maybe I said
and I go, no, because I called him, and we got the same number, so it's definitely the same number.
All right, so that had been 12 hours. I sent him a text, you know, saying, you know, how bad I felt, and thank you for everything you did for us and all that. Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
Nothing.
So I give it a day or two, still nothing.
Yeah.
So then I realize he posted, you know, what happened to him on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
So I go, all right, I'm going to message him on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Shoot that out.
Okay, all right. So what do you say?
Zilch. Nothing. It is still sitting there like a turd on Instagram.
So all of this was Tuesday. It is now
Tuesday, Wednesday. We are Friday.
Yep.
Nothing.
All right.
And I know he's saying it. He had to say something.
Well,
if that's his number and that's his Instagram, which he just posted. By the way, he's posted stuff since then.
So he's been on.
So I know he's been on his Instagram because he put another video out.
Because with the phone thing, I might think if I were you, I get why you went to Instagram because maybe like he lost my number. He got a new phone. He didn't have my number saved anymore. So he didn't know who it was.
Right.
But the Instagram thing, yeah, there's no, that's your face.
Right, you ain't getting
out
of
it. He knows it's coming from you.
So nothing.
Does that bother you a little bit?
It bothers me a lot.
Why?
I thought we were tight.
So, like, you thought you meant something to him, and he meant
something
to
you. Bro, he had been to my house. I've been to his house. We've been social together. We went out for drinks. We went to his wedding. I don't know what else I could do to not indicate what's going on here.
And, like, what's weird is, like, when I called him, he picked right up. One ring. They call him One Ring Crowley when I call him.
Yeah,
like,
I get it.
Immediately picked up. God, we talked for like 30 minutes. We were laughing, talking about old times, you know, what his future
plans are. Oh, so he couldn't hear you.
Like, oh, sorry. Well, maybe he couldn't because he was looking at all the texts you were sending him and going, no.
Maybe that's what he was waiting for. Maybe he was waiting for you to call instead of text.
Well, I didn't want to call because I know, like, sometimes when you're going through crap, you don't really.
No, I'm with you. I prefer the text, but some people might prefer the phone call.
But, like, you don't want to break it down again.
Yeah.
Sure. That's probably what it was.
Just give me, say, I'm okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I hate these guys that call, how you doing? What can I do for you?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something what happened to me today.
He answered my call.
Doing kettlebell.
He answered my call.
Yeah, working out.
Can I? Can I throw out a theory?
Oh, theory your ass up.
All right, because again. Because
you're just going to take a shot.
I'm not taking a shot. I'm asking. You're my friend. I know you. I watch you.
I love when you set me up. I can see you loading the musket of hate.
musket of hate.
Go ahead.
Look, man.
Musketeer.
I was an outside observer of the relationship you two had. Mm. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible?
Right.
I'm asking.
Then he treated me like gold.
That you and Crowley, that might be the problem.
He used to bring you coffee.
Okay, so let's break this down. Mm-hmm. Is it possible you two did not have the relationship you thought you did? Because you did, and you admit, made fun of him a lot.
But I do that to everybody, and I got that. But that's what I show love to people.
Look, I get it, because I've known you a long time. But
I mean, he's not a ball buster.
No, but you kept making fun of him.
Right, but I thought he
got it. Right to his face on a daily basis. while not only he was your superior, he would bring you free coffee daily. He would pay for it.
I know.
You never offered him money for anything. He would bring it, and then he would bring you the coffee, and you'd insult him to his face.
He also gave killer gifts.
Yeah, he did.
Very thoughtful.
Super top shelf Christmas gifts. Like, I was blown away. One thing, he had a wheel in here.
Yeah, and as he was wheeling it in for you, you made fun of him to his face. You said there was one thing you thought you said that was inappropriate.
So we went out for drinks one night, and I'm smoking a cigar outside. We're just shooting a crab, and we're talking about another show that was on at the time in the afternoon. I just thought they were having a really good run. And I had said to him, well, you know, they really don't have any competition. You know, that's why they're on a run in the afternoon. And when I met, and he goes, well, he goes, I'm on in the afternoon.
Whoops.
And I said, hold on, Chris. I said, I don't mean it the way it sounds. I said, because, like, they're straight talk. You do music and talk.
Even more
insulting.
Your
they're
show's
a straight
really a show.
I said, there's no other talk show to go up against them in the afternoon. And I go, and they kind of go in a direction that's kind of like mean.
Says man who's saying the meanest possible thing to a guy who dedicated his life to this career.
Yes.
Why does he not want to talk to you?
Your show's like half a show.
But I didn't mean it. I walked it back.
Just because you walk it back doesn't mean you didn't mean it.
But, you know, I just meant to in talk, not talk and music.
Look, I get where you're coming from.
Right. It came out wrong.
Yeah, sure. I also don't do that part of this job for a living, so I don't know how much that would hurt me.
I am, but in my defense, and hold on here, folks, kids.
Okay.
In my defense, I have been drinking. And a lot.
Okay. So I just want to recap real quick to make sure everyone listening, 252 WCMF, is on the same page.
Drinking a lot. Remember that.
So, like, with Crowley, former WCMF afternoon guy, our boss here, we love him to death.
Right.
He was here for years. He's the reason the show is all together. He is the father of the break room.
Mm-hmm.
Loses his job this week in Charlotte. I reach out to him. Hey, man, talk to him for, like, half an hour. Make sure he's cool. You reach out to him. You text him nothing. Send him a message on Instagram. So after we've established that you admitted that you made fun of him to his face on a regular basis.
And I felt bad. No,
I'm not talking about that one story. I'm talking about just on a daily basis.
Well, just joke stuff.
What fell out of your mouth there, which I didn't even know about that. That is ridiculous.
I never told you that story.
No, I never heard that story.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that he would buy you coffee from high-end places on a regular basis and would never accept any money. You said that he would give gifts upon gifts to us because he was a wonderful man.
Yeah.
And you don't know why he doesn't want to talk to you after probably one of the most traumatic things of his life.
Traumatic.
He got blown out of a career he's had his whole life.
To be honest, I don't really know why.
In his 50s, I'm sorry.
I don't really know why he'd want to talk to any of us, because every time he came in this room, there was something being made fun of. Because you were guilty of making fun of him, too.
Yeah,
I know it was like all like fun.
Oh, but practice it all sweet.
But, I am. But, like, I'm way softer when it comes to
you. Like, you're the Pope of jackasses.
The Pope of jackasses.
What comes out of the stack when you elect a new pope with jackass?
Your ass and mouth.
There was one thing that I will never forget, and I don't know why. Again, I don't know why once he left this place, why he ever talked to us again. Because he had an idea for the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think you were in this meeting, Tommy.
No,
I think it was just
Pat
and I.
Yeah.
And it was an idea.
Okay.
It was a unique idea.
Are we talking about April Fool's Day?
Groundhog Day.
Okay. So let's tell the idea, because I want everyone to understand what it
happened. So his idea was, you know, the on Groundhog Day, we play the show again from the following day.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same way.
And the joke would be people are going to be like, oh my God, this is the same show. They wouldn't get it. And then they'd call the show and be like, no, that's not what's happening at all. Mm. It's a hacky old radio bit. So go ahead, Kimmy.
So the first thing I did was turn to Pat, because I wanted to see his reaction.
Yeah.
And Pat basically looked him right in the face and said, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard."
But I didn't say that. I said, I looked him in the face and I go, "I'm going to be honest with you. That's the stupidest effing idea I've ever heard in my life."
And then proceeded to crush him for that idea for the next 5 years.
And he picks up the phone for you.
I know. That's what I'm amazed he answers any of our phone calls. I'm amazed we got invited to his wedding. Like, I thought he was ready to leave us in the past.
I guess, I don't know, like, you do make fun of me all the time for being leader in the hallway, a guy who talks to everybody. Maybe there's value in that. I'm just saying.
Maybe there's value in that.
He picked up my call.
That's corporate speak there.
Oh, really? Maybe there's some value in that there. You know, moving farther afield there could be some value in that statement.
I consider him a friend.
I do, too.
He apparently considers me a friend. You've been frozen out. You out of the circle. See?
Well, that's on him because I was very self-deprecating and I was very sincere in my two texts. I even changed the words around.
Oh,
I usually just, you know, go from the first one.
Well, no, it's because you only know certain words.
Right.
You
I got
move the words around the
same. Well, I have limited vocab.
Okay, so here's the thing. Pulling this away from us and Crowley and out to everybody else, 252 WCMF, are you sure all the people you care about feel the same way about you as you do as them? Not that they don't care, but that they wouldn't care as much as you.
Yeah.
Because outside of your romantic partner.
Yeah, would you want to hear that opinion?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to have an honest discussion with how most about. You're never going to have an honest discussion with most of the people in your life about how they feel about you.
Yeah.
What they mean to you. Like, we've worked with Kimmy for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
She is one third of the show. Brilliant show.
Yeah.
She's like family.
Yeah.
We've never had a moment where we've professed to Kimmy what she actually means to you and I.
Well, that would be weird.
Yeah, she wouldn't want it.
I wouldn't want it. You guys wouldn't want
it. Understood.
And I wouldn't even know what that is, really.
See, why does nobody want to talk to you after they leave?
You're not supposed to follow up with that.
But are you and I?
Yeah.
Because we assume that Kimmy means to, we mean to Kimmy what Kimmy means
to
us.
Yeah.
Are we sure that Kimmy feels as strongly
it's
about
hard, man.
Our personal relationship?
Is she cold?
We'll never know because none of us are good at talking about our feelings.
One is, apparently.
What?
What are you talking about?
What?
I can talk about my feelings, no problem.
Go ahead.
Yeah, not in this room.
Let sure I can.
Let it rip.
No. What, Kimmy? Kimmy's the greatest. Kimmy's the greatest thing that ever happened to this show.
Okay, that's so vague. That's what you say
also,
to anybody.
Also, based on the stories you've told, doesn't seem like it was that hard.
What are you talking about?
It's a pretty low bar.
Yeah.
What an insulting thing to the guy that had the job before you!
Yeah, I'm just going
no,
based off
was,
your
like,
stories.
No, there were many people before that.
Well, yeah, Lumpy sucked, but everybody else.
There have been many ghosts of break room pass.
Bro, we had guys that had that job that used to like lick the wall and hit it with their heads. And I'm not making that up.
He's not making that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it was a low bar.
Okay, but the point I'm making is...
Hey, you guys want to get naked and sit in a room together?
He loved that idea. And by the way, that was the guy who does a podcast now. But it also gets weird the other way.
We had one producer trying to semi-poison one of the co-hosts.
Yeah, see?
Again.
I didn't put your lives in danger.
You're not helping.
With their own fluid.
You're not helping by insulting Kimmy.
No, I'm saying. I don't. Yeah, it's,
you're so
your compliments
bad at this.
Don't mean much.
I'm telling Kimmy what she means in the show, and you're going, not hard. You didn't try and kill us or get naked, so good job, kid.
Or punch walls.
How are you so bad at this?
I don't know. I'm trying.
No, you're not. But it also gets weird the other way, right? Like, folks you didn't think were looking out for you the way that they're looking out for you. Because let's say something, Tommy, bad happens in your life. You lose a job, you get hurt, someone you love.
Yeah, tragedy.
It can be very surprising who picks up the phone.
Who steps up.
Yeah, to make sure you're okay.
It's usually the ones you'd never see coming.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, names from years ago, you see them on the caller ID, and it's like, oh, my God. And you don't always want to talk to all of them.
No, you don't, because then you just got to rehash it. And I know I'm not good at like receiving that. Like, I told you that story one time. So my second wife, you know, she quit her job, and she used to work at the radio station, right? So one of the sales girls stopped by our house and left like donuts and like she went. They went like Dunkin' and got the full boat, you know, with the box of Joe and all that, and left it at that.
Very kind thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the next day, I see the girl. I go, hey, you know, we have food, man. It wasn't like we were out of food and I needed donuts and coffee. I just meant it as a joke, right? She got pissed.
Yeah, man.
To the point where she started to cry.
You're a monster.
God. And I just, like, backed out of the cubicle. And she's still in the business. I've never spoken to her since.
Shit! It's been, like, 15 years!
Yeah, and I've seen her at events. I've seen her at radio events. and I just avoid her.
So what are you confused about Crowley not wanting to talk to you?
But it was a joke, man. I just meant it as a joke.
But you could have apologized.
But they don't get it, man. She's already
Well,
it would have
helped.
No, he's mad at her because of the dick thing he said.
They don't get my apology.
Wouldn't you make a joke, though, if somebody did that?
Like, no, I would sincerely thank them.
Even if you did make a joke, once you saw it upset them, like the natural reaction would be like, I'm sorry, I was just kidding.
No, his natural reaction is to run away.
Hey, really appreciate that $7 you spent at Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, my God.
That'll pull us through, winner.
Do you even know how many calories are in those donuts?
Yeah, thank you.
Do you not have a soul?
Yes, I do, but I like to have fun, too. Like,
and everyone else's expense.
Laugh at a tragedy.
No, but you're not laughing at the tragedy. You want to laugh at your own tragedy. God bless you. You're laughing at what they did to help you with the tragedy.
The worst part is you put everybody else in an awkward position. Like, you stirred the pot, and now everybody else is left to pick up the pieces of your stupid joke.
What pot? Let it go.
All right, let's be
real. Dump the pot.
No, but you didn't even stick around to like make it better. Everybody else had to make it better for you.
Yeah, true.
Look, let's be real here. Yeah. Like we said, with Crowley losing his job, who we love very much, our former boss at Afternoons here on WCMF, losing it in Charlotte earlier this week. Like we said, you mercilessly made fun of him for years while he was your boss.
Yeah.
I'm sure he thinks if he reaches back out to you or calls you or whatever, you are going to destroy him. You also, let's not forget, can we remember this? He looked Crowley in the face and said to his face when he left this job for another job, when he left WCMF for another job, quote, you're going to fail. Everyone who leaves the break room falls on their face.
I always say that as a joke, but it's also true.
You said it to his face.
Everybody that has left the break room has fallen on hard times.
No, by the way, you're not wrong. But you don't say it to his face.
You're supposed to say you're going to break the mold or you're going to do better.
You go get him, kiddo. I didn't want him to leave.
So you tell him he's going to be a failure?
Well, yeah, I thought that would be motivating for him to stay here.
And then when he failed?
Who the hell wants to go to North Carolina with all that fine weather?
He didn't go to North Carolina.
Pretty girls walking around. And Daisy Dukes.
Hey, Kimmy.
And NASCAR.
He says to this man's face, you're going to fail.
No, I know.
And then he wonders why, after he fails, he doesn't want to talk to Tommy.
Was I right, though? Took a few years, but you know what I'm saying. You leave the break room, you're going to be in trouble.
You have Facebook messages.
It's like a cocoon of safety in here.
Yeah, no, I feel very safe with you.
You're not going anywhere. You'll never get a raise, but you'll be safe. It's like a safe house.
Rick writes us on Facebook. You can always get us at WCMF for the Breaker Facebook page. Rick writes, I love Crowley. Does that mean he can come back and work at WCMF again? Why would we want to hire some loser that just got fired? Can't handle it in Charlotte. You can come back and hang at CMF. He left us. He had his chance.
Yeah.
But I hope he's doing well, obviously.
But like, so kind of in the same subject here, you know, you and I had a comedic friend of ours, Tiny Glover, who we just loved this guy. He was like an angel. Like most comedians, as a matter of fact, all comedians are just huge, massive pieces of crap.
And mental basket cases. Yeah.
This guy was none of that. Yep. And he was funny. And he was just a great guy. And he passed away way too young. So I still have a picture. I basically have his funeral card framed upstairs in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And when my wife was first asking about this person, I described Tiny to her. And she goes, that doesn't make sense to me.
What do you mean?
Based on all your other friends. Like, basically she was saying.
You're saying nice things and it threw her off?
And well, then he's a nice man.
Why did he like you?
Yes.
And why did you like him?
Yes.
Because it doesn't sound like you two would mesh
him
being decent and you less decent.
Do you realize what you just did again, you idiot?
Go ahead.
She knew you and I were friends.
Yeah.
And you described Tiny as a nice person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then she goes, well, he's the only nice friend you have, which means she thinks I'm a scumbag. How are you so bad at this?
Well, you were drinking, running your mouth, carrying on. Don't forget, you were Fat Pat back then. You smelled like pork 24/7. Like you look like a human version of Iowa, full of corn and pork. You ran your mouth all the time. By the way, your wife put the polish on you. You were not the polished
Pat.
When I introduced you to my wife, you were not polished Pat. You were like busted ass Pat. Please, man.
You want to talk about putting the polish on? Why'd you put the polish on?
All your clothes were birthday presents. You had a scuffed up fossil watch on that never worked, much like your car. You were running two different dart leagues.
Why does nobody want to talk to you when things go bad? Why does that happen? Why?
But you grew on it.
You
turn it around, kid.
There is not a single person in your life who doesn't hate you in some way. Even if they like you, they
or have
hate
a terrible
you.
Story.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, have fun.
Whoa, save your money. No one really knows what makes something cool.
No.
And this story is proof of it. Because like 5 to 10 years ago, if we made this announcement on the air, mm-hmm. it would be a joke. It would sound like a joke.
Right.
And they would not have sold a single ticket. But all of a sudden, these bands that were punchlines, Kimmy, even when they were at their peak.
You think they were punchlines at their peak?
I do. I mean, wow. Everyone made fun of them even though they were selling records.
I think a little afterwards, but I think when they were at their peak, people thought they were cool. Okay.
So who's wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, let me put it this way, Tommy. This festival of once joke acts is now so popular.
Really?
You're not going to be able to get your hands on a ticket.
It's that hot of a summer ticket.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We will jump right into it. It is concert season, kind of, right? And it's going to be warm soon.
And
folks will be going out to CMAC and Darien Lake.
And they're making all these announcements.
You got it. And not only are we getting announcements for shows in our area, we're getting the festival lineups in cities across America for the upcoming summer. And this summer's most popular festival might be the Summer of 99 Festival.
Oh.
Are you ready for this lineup?
So it's all big acts from 1999?
99. Summer of 99 Festival.
Who was hot in 99?
Your headliner for the first night, Nickelback!
All right.
And if that was not rocking enough for you.
What happens
on the second night?
So it's all whiny boy bands?
Oh, bro.
Okay.
Boy bands.
Well, they're all guys, but they're just whiny. They're whiny white boys.
Well, no. Would you call this next band whiny white boys? Because you'll get a headlining set on the second night from Creed. Yeah. Now, by the way, there are more: Three Doors Down, Hinder, Vertical Horizon, Daughtry, Tonic, Our Lady Peace, among others, will be a part of this festival. And it started.
This is all for moms.
No,
it's a dad show.
Oh, I thought it was a mom show.
Nope, this is, and I think that's what it is.
What's that?
These bands were cool at their peak, and then dads got a hold of them.
Ooh, you might be right.
And then
dad takes you down.
And then they weren't cool anymore. It was the music your dad was blasting in the car, taking you to soccer practice.
My dad loved both of these bands.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the thing. This festival, the Summer 99 Festival, started last year as a one-day festival in California, and it sold so many tickets, and it was so wildly popular. They had to move the tour to the Midwest and add a second day to accommodate all the people that wanted to go.
So people are going to come from points all over.
Yes. And that's why they moved to the Midwest, because they found that people wanted to or were trying to travel, and California was too far a distance, so they moved it to Wisconsin.
Perfect.
Put it in the middle.
Yeah.
Nothing like a nice Wisconsin summer.
All right, from the Kennedys.
Yes.
Phone number is 252-WCMF.
Well, they left one of their kids up there in a home.
Phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Kimmy's theory is not a bad theory.
What is?
Dad's got a hold of it.
So this is a dad show.
Mm-hmm.
Can someone else explain what the hell happened? Because 5 to 10 years ago, Creed, Nickelback.
Well, they were gone.
Not only were they gone.
Yeah, nobody thought of them.
They were the biggest jokes in music when they came up. They were the opposite of cool.
Because this sounds like something you would see in a low-end casino.
I would have thought the same thing. Yes, you're right.
Cowboy Pete's
in Missouri.
I think they've officially become nostalgia bands, which is also people who thought they were cool, then thought they weren't cool, and now that it's been a long enough period in between, they want to go back to it because it reminds them of childhood.
Yeah.
But I always thought the nostalgia bands were still kind of a joke when you went. Like, I don't think anybody goes.
Well, even they are for some people, but you still want to go, I guess, because you know all the songs.
Yeah, you want to just sing along and just be fat and fun.
But let me put it this way. Like, nostalgia tours have gotten really, really big. New Kids on the Block and a bunch of other boy bands from the early 90s, they're touring.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not doing a festival like this. And I was under the impression that the people that went to those shows knew it was kind of a joke. We've seen the same thing with, like, Nelly.
Yeah.
Remember the rapper Nelly?
I
assume that folks going to that show were just going to, like, have a grand old time.
Have
they
a
knew
laugh,
it was
almost.
A joke. It doesn't seem like that's what this is. They're selling out a festival.
And I'm sure it ain't cheap.
People aren't going to these shows ironically, are they? Like, they're going because they want
to. You're not paying that much money to go ironically.
By the way, you're probably, how many days is it?
Two days.
So that means you got to, like, camp out there and stuff?
Yeah, they got camping.
Oh, yeah. You're making a trip out of it.
That's serious, man. I mean, I could see going to the casino and having a laugh and going home.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're trekking someplace with food and tents to, like, set up, you're serious. The guys we know that do these shows, They're into it year after year after year.
Yeah. All right.
I don't get it.
Okay, 252-WCMF. Kimmy's theory is not a bad theory. The dads got a hold of them and they were popular. It buried them. But then why are they popular again?
Because now you can take your dad.
Okay.
You're not as embarrassed of your dad anymore.
Ah!
Well, but if you're going
I love
to,
how you're saying that to me.
But I would go to something like this with my dad. We're going to be around a bunch of like-minded
dads.
Sons, daughters, and dads.
It's Dad Fest.
Yeah.
252-WCMF, we're talking about the Summer 99 Tour. It is now a two-day festival. They move from California to Wisconsin to allow more people to travel. It is headlined each night, one night by Creed, the other night by Nickelback, Three Doors Down, Hinder, Vertical Horizon, Tonic, Our Lady Peace. These guys were all jokes.
I would love to just see the sponsorship at these events. Like, you know, they have the posters and billboards all over the place.
What do you think?
Energy drinks.
It's got to be so many pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, my back hurts. My leg hurts.
Also, compression socks. Yes, pecker pills. And whatever cool dad drink is going to be for the summer.
252-WCMF.
Oh, and Blackstone. I bet you Blackstone is the title sponsor. There'll be a Blackstone stage. And demonstrations out in the parking lot.
Seth is going to help us figure out what's going on. Hey, Seth, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man. What do you got for us?
So I'm 27. My dad, he was big AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, you know, real classic rock stuff. So he didn't really listen to the late 90s stuff very much, but I've listened to it my whole life. So middle school, high school, everybody made fun of me for liking Nickelback, Hinder. Now all of them same as...
Hold on, you can't say that, Seth.
Oh, sorry.
By the way, we are those guys, so continue. Go ahead.
But, yeah, no, all the same people that was giving me crap, you know, at school for liking them guys are the ones playing it now.
Okay, so I can I ask you a personal question? Do you mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
How much embroidery do you have on the back pockets of all of your jeans?
None, actually.
Okay.
27 seems a little young to like that music. Like, I feel like that was a little bit before your time.
It kind of was. I'm, you know, kind of
like you had to seek that music out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Say most of my friends, you know, after high school, I kind of got with a lot of the older guys, stuff like that. You know,
cool,
like,
Nickelback
I still
guy.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I still like AC/DC, Zeppelin, Kid Rock, Ozzy, you know, stuff like that. So I listen to a lot of different stuff. But at the same time, the divorce dad rock, I am down with.
All right, Seth, Hinder is the band that sang Lips of an Angel. Was that Hinder?
Yes.
Who do I call it be? So here's the thing. Seth, you know that music's kind of a joke when you can do it just by making your voice sound just right now.
Oh, I'm not going to disagree with that at all. But at the same time, it still sold plenty of records, and they're still selling plenty of tickets.
All right.
I can't wait to see, like, who MCs this.
Who are you thinking?
I'm thinking William Matar will be out there for a few minutes.
Hey, are you going to go, Seth?
If they were closer, I bet I would, but unfortunately, the thing is out of the cards for going that far.
Well, Seth,
me.
You know what they say. When you get a chance to see both Creed and Nickelback, you gotta go.
Wait, you're saying Wisconsin's a trip too far?
Well, this winter, yeah, with plowing snow, I can't get away from this place. So.
All right, well, Seth, it's all right. Seth, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Seth's in. He's not going, but he's
in. Yeah, it's too far. Wisconsin, I'm not driving all the way there, is there?
252-WCMF, we're talking about the Summer 99 Festival. It was a one-day festival last year. It became such a big deal with Creed and Nickelback. They have moved it to the Midwest to give more people the opportunity to go. They turned it into a two-night event.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to hear bands sing like this, remind me.
That's the whole festival is going to sound like that.
You know why dads like these bands? Because every dad could be the lead singer of all of these bands.
Yeah, it was a good karaoke lineup.
No, but you can't tell the difference between the lead singer of Nickelback, Chad Kroeger, and anyone's
dad.
You
didn't really have to have a voice.
No, you don't, Tommy.
It's like you're constantly taking a dump.
Look at this photograph.
It's like, it sounds like every dad when he's taking a dump, but somebody rang the door.
Somebody get that. He's already rung twice. I'm expecting a package.
I wonder if a lot of the people that want to go to this, if they still listen to the music or they want to go back to listen to the music. Because I feel like that's a tough. I mean, you
I bet you they work out to it.
You think?
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking, like, there are concerts I'd go to of music I don't listen to anymore, but I'd want to go just to relive, like, my middle school years.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But again, like, we were talking when you were on the phone. I always assume people went to those ironically. Like, we're there to have fun. We're going to dress up like the time period.
Sure.
Like, the dads going to this show are still dressing like they did in 1989.
Yeah, there's a wardrobe change.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Ray. Hey, Ray. How are you, buddy?
Hey, morning. How's it going?
Good, man. What do you got?
So I was born in 1990, you know, grew up and generally liked these. And I remember at the time, even like when these bands, like I think Creed and Nickelback specifically, like they were popular within their group and then they broke through to like broad mainstream.
Yeah, they became top 40 bands. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, I think at that point they just got hammered and it almost became like, you know, fashionable to like hate on them. And I remember... at the time, feeling it was a little unfair.
How dare you do this to Chad Kroeger? He's dating Avril Lavigne.
I mean, I think it's fine to like, you know, not like it, but I felt like even at the time, it was unfair about like how much hate they got. So I'm just glad to see them doing good now.
Right.
And even like on this radio station, sometimes I'll turn it on and I'll hear Creed like as a classic rock.
No, he's right. Isn't it weird?
It's
I mean, Ray,
we
are at a point in our lives where. We're listening to bands we heard as kids on CMF.
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
so,
Ray.
I just wanted to say I'm happy for him.
All right, Ray's happy for Creed. Thank you, Ray, for
He's pulling for you guys.
You know, there is a weird phenomenon that happens every once in a while with music. An artist gets popular for being uncool. Like, people make fun of them so much that their work all of a sudden is back in the public eye again. And when it does that, folks that maybe never heard them or forgot about them embrace them. Like, we're watching it happen right now
who's that?
Yacht Rock.
Oh, yeah. It's having a big resurgence.
Because that was the least cool music of all time.
Right.
Right? And that documentary hit Netflix a couple months ago. And now Christopher Cross and Steely Dan and artists like that are having a massive resurgence.
Break out your Tommy Bahamas, baby.
Is that what we're seeing here?
Your straw fedora. You're in.
Down in Jamaica.
The way you see the bands might be different, but are you listening to the music?
I mean, I've always...
But the music's just a party. You know what I mean? Those bands are just a freaking party. There's no
like, I think,
deep thoughts here. It's just chilling. Right?
But
like,
you can
I
make
think
the
with
same...
Yacht Rock, people are actually going back and listening to it for the first time or in a different light. I don't know if people are... People might see these bands differently, but are they going to listen to the music?
Why else would you buy a ticket?
Oh, well, if you're going to the concert, I'm saying. But you're saying they're having a different image now, and that doesn't necessarily mean people are going to the shows. It just means they're seeing the band differently.
But I mean, I think that having that different image now, it lends to people wanting to embrace them again, which would lead you to buy a ticket to the show. Let's take one more call, 252-WCMF. We're talking about the Summer 99 Festival. They did this last year. It was a one-day show. Creed and Nickelback were co-headliners. It was so popular. They moved it from California to the Midwest to give more people access. It is now a two-day festival. Three Doors Down, Our Lady Peace, Hinder, Creed, and Nickelback as the headliners. And these bands were a joke 10 years ago. Now it's impossible to get a ticket to this thing. Dave's got the last word on CMF. Hey, Dave, how are you, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Yo!
Hey, so I had a little something to say. I think that Creed, Coldplay, Nickelback, they're all making such a big resurgence because of TikTok. People have been using their songs and making these hilarious TikToks and Instagram reels about like drinking in the garage and stuff. It's the craziest phenomenon because so Creed was the first album that I actually ever bought, and I'm 32, and so they're all over. If you go on Instagram reels, TikTok, they're all over. Creed songs.
That's a great call.
Okay, that's a perfect way to describe the genre of music, garage drinking music.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, look, Dave's hitting it all on the head here. I think you're blowing all our minds, Dave.
Hey, I'm just out here living it, man. I love Creed.
You going to the show?
No, I'm not going to the
Too
show.
Far.
No, but I did go to the one. I went to the one at Darien, and it was like sold out. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
All right, be sincere now, Dave. I know you're a fan, but I need an impartial observation. Did they bring it enough where it was worth the ticket price?
Oh, brother, they brought it, dude. Creed rocks.
Dave, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Real quick, because Dave said Creed was the first album he ever bought. Mm-hmm. What was the first album you ever bought?
Oh, I think it was Peter Frampton.
Okay, Frampton Comes Alive?
Yeah.
All right, Kimmy, do you remember the first album you ever bought?
I remember the first CD that was ever given to me, like that Celine Dion.
Oh.
It was. I had to Celine Dion and Chumbawamba.
That's a good combo.
Okay.
It's an interesting Christmas.
Do you remember the first one you bought with your own money?
Has it happened
yet? I think it was Backstreet Boys. It was okay. A Backstreet Boys CD. Right. Was Nickelback... Okay, so we went through like the layers of Nickelback here in America, but did Nickelback ever have that reputation in Canada?
No, they've
like,
always loved Nickelback.
Always cool? Yeah.
Well, the Canadians...
Like, they never lost the cool factor in Canada.
Canadians, as we learned last night with this Four Nations tournament,
yeah.
Take their Canadianship,
yeah.
Canadianization.
Like, they were like Avril Lavigne and yeah. Chad Kroeger, the head singer of Nickelback, were like Canadian royalty.
So they are... Is Nickelback a Canadian?
Nickelback is Canadian, yes.
Okay.
So if anything that comes out of Canada...
Well, they're very protective of their music.
Exactly.
Too.
Well, anything that's Canadian. Yeah. If you criticize anything Canadian to a Canadian...
Yeah, they flip out.
I mean, what, we're watching it happen in the news, man.
Yeah,
you do not talk to a Canadian. You do not look at a Canadian and say...
But don't drop
sucks.
That once it becomes a state, right?
Not if they keep winning hockey games the way that they are, buddy. All right, ladies, we're asking this question only to make ourselves smarter.
Oh, good, good, good.
You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And I understand that maybe we should know this, but it is confusing how something that can be on your body your whole life can give you this much trouble.
No.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. This week, the University of Rochester Medical Center, their fitness science department.
What are they doing?
They announced that they are having free bra fittings for women.
Okay.
Specifically women in athletics. Their fitness science department in Henrietta at the Marketplace Mall location.
Yeah.
They're allowing female athletes to come in free of charge so they can be fitted for the right size sports bra. And if you are interested in this, Tommy, all you have to do is call and make an appointment. Because in this story, U of R Medicine says that 80% of all women are wearing the wrong bra size.
It's funny you bring that up because every woman I've ever dated or ever known is not happy with their bra
okay.
or any of the bras that they own. They all say the same thing. They wear them for a little bit, and then they hate them.
Well, then why don't you take it off, baby?
There you go, buddy.
And for men...
Remove that brassiere, my dear.
For men that are saying, what's the big deal? Apparently, the wrong bra size can cause all kinds of actual health issues. Back, neck, shoulder, things that can eventually lead to bigger problems down the road. So, here's what I've never understood.
What's that?
You know, you bring up the whole every woman you've ever known hates
their bras. They hate their bras.
All right. So, like, I we're wearing pants today, right?
Yeah.
So, if I walk into a store, I know what size pants I need. So, I buy the pants and I go on and, like, shirt and hat and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Kimmy.
Yeah.
How do women not know what size bra they wear?
All bras are different and they fit you different.
Just like them tatas.
And I think some people think that the tighter the bra, the better the fit. And
yeah,
that's
no,
not
I agree
the,
with that.
And that's not the case. No. A lot of times they tell you to go, like, get a bigger size because you're going to fit into it better. Stop making that face.
Straddle them whoppers.
I also, I mean, you're...
Straddle them gals.
I think women also get their bra size and think that's what I'm going to be for life. And it varies so much throughout time.
Oh, your boobs change.
The fit
change.
Of it all
okay.
and the way your body changes. It can change throughout the month.
Okay. So you got like... You got
yeah,
like,
I think, yeah, like when you cycle and they blow up.
Like when you're working out?
Yeah, that too.
Cycling?
You don't want to cycle when you're cycling.
And
wow, that could be bad.
You know, pre-pregnancy, post-pregnancy, it changes a lot over time. And I think some women are just like, I'm just going to stick with this bra. This is one, you know, this is the size I've always worn.
Okay,
I have one question.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just me. But when women would always complain about these bras, I would say, well, why did you buy that bra? And they usually would say, I thought it looked cute. Like they almost base it on what it looked like the pattern and the design, more than the fit. Like,
no,
I'm going to make this
say
work.
Most women are going for comfort when it comes to their daily, day-to-day underwear.
Granny panties.
Not, I thought we were talking about bras.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. Granny bra panties. Bras that are not, like, sexy.
Well, they're just plain bras.
Yeah, like
you
they're
know,
not fun.
You're working
plain
bra.
Plain color bra.
You're working gal bra.
Blue-collar Carhartt
down bra. In a mine shaft brosier.
So.
They sent a canary in there? Didn't come back.
What a lot of... stylists will say, like, if your clothes aren't fitting you right, if you're not, you know, you feel uncomfortable in your clothes, like, one of the first things that they'll do for women is get them the right size bra.
Because
it changes the way everything fits you.
Guys, personal question?
Sure.
How long did it take you to figure out the right size bra?
Still working on that. We're getting there,
again,
son.
Like, I think that it does change over time. It's just, when your bra stops fitting you right, you go... Find a new one.
Well, I would think as you age, the sag factor has to...
You probably are looking for different things. different materials?
You shake your head. I mean, women's sag
factor. No, like
there's a sag factor.
You could have said it more nice.
But we knew what he was saying.
Well, how else would you say drooping?
Gravity kicks in.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
And then the sag hits.
I mean, Kimmy, can I ask another dumb question?
Yeah.
Because, again, this story with the U of R offering free sports bra fittings, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like sports bras are more comfortable than regular bras. Why don't women wear sports bras the time?
But they're very, I mean, they're meant to, like, suffocate you.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Depending on what size you are, yeah, like, they're meant to hold everything in. So some people prefer them. Some people are like, it's really restricting.
I can't imagine, like, an older woman wearing them things.
What, a sports bra?
Yeah. Because I think it's like...
But it's like smushing you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's got to look like an octopus in there.
Stupidest person I've ever met.
But you know what I mean.
No, well, we can't have an adult. I'm trying to figure out, like, I'm learning things. We're all learning things as men that we didn't know here, right? Kimmy's giving us a window into the chest of the ladies that we love.
Chest of the world.
There you go. 252 WCMF again. The U of R Medicine Sports Science, Fitness Science Department in Henrietta says they are having free bra fittings, free of charge, so you can be fitted for the right size. They say that 80% of women are wearing the wrong bra size, and that leads to all kinds of back, neck, shoulder issues that can be a bigger problem down the road. They say if you want to do this, just go make an appointment.
Yep.
Should some guys be doing this?
With what?
Like, well, with clothes?
No, I mean, like...
Boxers?
No. Well, okay, as you get older, like, your balls will start to sag.
Yeah, you get old man sack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, the support there is important, too.
You had to change your underwear.
Yeah, if you're not getting the right support.
And I did.
Okay. As did I.
Yeah. You had to get the pouch.
Yeah. But do most guys know that?
Yeah, I think your balls will tell you. That's the great thing about balls. I don't know how boobs work, but balls talk, and they speak loud.
One of my favorite Bee Gees songs of all time.
Balls talking. Talking your balls.
No, because, like, that's what I don't understand about this.
Your balls will scream at you when they're not happy.
And that's what I don't get. Like, once.
But I guess boobs are. I guess boobs are tougher than balls.
No, but, like, if
as far as sensitivity.
But if you're sore, like, my balls became sore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I had to get new underpants.
Right.
If your boobs are sore, wouldn't that be the indication it's time for a different bra? That's what's so confusing to me about boobs and bras and balls.
Yes. Oh my.
I mean, like, it's funny. You see this as a bigger issue for men now just based on the underwear being advertised to you on television.
Yeah, but, man, it made a world of difference when I switched out.
It is
amazing. To the old stuff.
Like, even the old jocks, I have giant balls, like physical balls. I'm not trying, not my penis.
I've seen your balls.
No, man. I'm telling you, man, I got, like, plum-sized balls. I've always had them. And, you know, like, back in the day, you never played sports, but, like, if you had to wear a jock, like, put your balls in... D&B in a cup, might never fit.
Well, you had to go single file.
No, I would have to, like, I would always have one ball, like, on the line of the cup.
Defeats the purpose.
Yeah, it actually made it hurt a lot
aren't
more.
Aren't there, like, a lot of guys that don't wear it, like, and will just risk, like...
A cup?
Yeah, we'll risk getting seriously injured because it's uncomfortable.
Outside of hockey, I stopped wearing a cup for everything else. So with hockey, I had to find...
insane.
I had to find a bigger cup.
All right.
But, like, I always thought, like, something was wrong... Because it never felt the right way.
Because your balls were freakishly plump.
And it wasn't until,
All right.
I don't know. No, I'm just saying. Like,
all right. I mean, my balls are pretty just standard.
Standard ball?
Yeah.
I don't know. You want them? Are you sure?
You've seen them.
No, I mean, I didn't like, I didn't like, look at your testicles.
No, but they're like standard, like, egg-shaped balls.
Okay. No, they're egg-shaped.
But I do droop, and that's when I went to the Tommy John. Changed my life.
Okay. Well, all you ladies, if you're looking for a free sports bra fitting.
Drag them down there.
I'm sure they'll have information.
Throw it over your shoulder.
Like a cut. Over his shoulder.
Let's take a break.